Welcome to The Vinyl Preacher, your weekly podcast where we talk about the Bible and make a playlist. I'm Matt Cato, pastor at St. Mark's Lutheran Church in Los Angeles, California.
And I'm Zach Paris, sitting high above the most godless city in the American South, Asheville, North Carolina.
Zach, today we're doing just the texts today.
Just the text. There's going to be no chitting. No chatting.
Disappointing. Everybody's tuning in to hear our take on the Milwaukee Bucks coaching situation, and they're not going to get
it. Oh, the Doc Rivers. They're not going to get it. We're kicking the can down the road, but we're not short-stripping the listeners, Matt. They've got almost a full hour with Jason Kirk talking about his debut novel, which you haven't listened to the episode, I'm sure, Matt, which I emphasized a lot and tried to put a lot of pressure on him that he's got another book because he has to write. Because if you write a debut, there has to be a second, right? But it's great. You're going to enjoy it, Matt, when you get around to listening. I know you always listen back to the playlist, the podcast that we record together. But this one, you really should, especially once you finish reading the book, because it's good. And the book is good, Matt. You should check it out. So Jason Kirk is a senior editor of The Athletic, which is a part of the New York Times magazine, the old gray lady. But I know him mostly through the Shutdown Fullcast, which is a college football podcast. And it's like sports writing, but he wrote a novel, Matt, and it's a properly good novel, and not just like properly good for a sports writer. It's a really good novel. You should check it out. Go to the internet, look for "Hell Is a World Without You." Buy it before February 12th, because all proceeds, all profit, Matt, that's your revenue minus your expenses. 100% of that goes to the Trevor Project before February 12th. Otherwise, Jason said he's going to do like really irresponsible things with the money. Please buy it before February 12th. And thanks to Jason again for coming on. He was a fantastic guest.
Awesome. That sounds fantastic. I'm sorry to have missed that episode, but I look forward to listening to it and to finish the book. I got the book. I haven't read it yet, but I'm excited. I'm going to dive in. I'm going to do it.
I know it's hard for you, Matt, because you're going to have to read it with your eyes and you haven't exercised.
I usually listen to books on triple speed, and I'm going to have to just read it on normal.
If they sell enough books, Jason says they're going to do an audiobook. So if the listeners buy enough books, they could help you not have to read.
We could just read a chapter of it a week on our podcast, you know. It'd just be like, that's how Dickens used to do it, right? Just release a chapter at a time in the local newspaper. We'll just do it on, the local podcast, read a chapter at a time.
A lot of people compare our podcast to Dickens, and I think we should take it one step further. The thing is, Matt, our interview was so good. It went so long, as it always does. Like the interview, we're always like, well, we'll just do an interview in the A block. But then we just want to talk to the people, and it ends up being really long. So we didn't get around to the text, and yet the text come whether we are ready for them or not. And so I think our thought here, Matt, is we're going to give you a little bit of a text this week real quick.
It's true. And it's a pretty fantastic text. We're just going to look at Mark chapter 1, 21 to 28. And one of the things I love about this is, you know, we spent a little bit of time in Luke. Even if you're in the lectionary, you're going to read Luke 2 at Christmas. You know, Luke 2, you know, Jesus is just getting born at that point. Luke chapter 1, we're just kind of getting warmed up. We've got some background characters. We're taking our time. There have already been two songs by the time we get to the second chapter. You know, it's a musical.
The lead single.
Like many movies today, Luke is not advertised as a musical, but it actually is one once you open it up. But in Mark's a different story. We're still in chapter 1, and all of a sudden Jesus is showing up. He's already got disciples. He's going to the synagogue. He's teaching. He's casting out demons, and his fame is spreading throughout Galilee. We're not even to verse 28 of this book yet, and stuff is happening. It's wild.
Can't stop, won't stop. That's what Jesus says in Mark.
Can't stop, won't stop. So here it is. Jesus and his disciples went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, he entered the synagogue and taught. They were astounded at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. No shade. Just then there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit. And he cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be silent and come out of him." And the unclean spirit, convulsing him and crying with a loud voice, came out of him. And they were all amazed, and they kept on asking one another, "What is this? Was ist das? A new teaching with authority. He commands the even the unclean spirits, and they obey him. And at once, his fame began to spread throughout the surrounding region of Galilee. The gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ. Matt, again, as you're saying, like, with this story starts at verse 21. So presumably in Mark, we had our intro. We had a baptism. The skies opened. Mark, more so than the other gospels, is really, I think, easier to swallow and perceive as a narrative in of itself, right? Because you don't have a birth narrative. There's no little baby Jesus in Mark. He just shows up. It's got this great opening, right? The beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, which I think I made the point, the argument a couple weeks ago. You could argue that is the title of this story, the larger story of like the Gospel of Mark. The Gospel of Mark is the beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ. Because again, spoilers, you're going to get to the end and may or may not have a real resurrection sort of narrative. There's a way to read it where it's just an empty tomb and Jesus is resurrected loose out in the world doing stuff. And so the good news continues. So what is important to understand, shout out to David Rhodes, Marquez story, is that Mark here has his own Jesus and his own disciples and his own, he's doing his own world building. Also helpful to keep in mind, Mark's the first, right? Historically speaking, didn't have source material to go off of. He's not like writing a Reader's Digest version of John here, or Luke, who luxuriates in taking time to tell the story. He's going from nothing, blank page, writing words on here, right? Constructing the story. We talked to Jason a little bit about that narrative sort of structure and how it works. So it was pretty fun. We did some like literary stuff, Matt. It was a blast. Mark's doing the same thing here. And one of the things he's doing is establishing who Jesus is. And we've got some big clues already, and they happen again, right? The skies, the clouds, the dome, to go back to those creation, like these elemental forces, the voice booms from heaven that you're my son, the beloved, in whom I am well pleased, right? That's Mark. We've already happened. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So the skies themselves are opening up here. Again, one of the things that's going to emerge is that nobody knows who Jesus is. In Mark, there's a secret going on, but one force that recognizes who Jesus is always, really quickly are like demons, haunted pigs, I believe. Is that Mark? These like evil-ish spirits, whatever they are, they know immediately, to use a Markan word, who Jesus is. And what it's doing here is it's setting up who Jesus is, right? Jesus is not who he should be, or what these clues are saying, right? Like, it didn't happen. I was baptized at a little Lutheran church in Gastonia, North Carolina, Matt. That's where I was baptized, which is the place to be baptized. If you want to get baptized, you go all the way to the bottom, right? You must be all the old Adam must die. And the best place to do that is in Gastonia, North Carolina. I came up out of the waters, and a voice did not boom from heaven. It was just whoever the pastor was and stuff. Redeemer, I think, maybe. That's on New Hope Road. But it does happen here for Jesus. And I've not yet had unclean spirits, demons, identifying me walking down the street. Though sometimes I've had some similar encounters like that in some urban centers. But Jesus here clearly has more power than someone in his place and position. And so that's worth lifting up.
Amen. He's clearly got power and authority. I feel like we've done like a word studies on authority before, but now I can't remember any of them. But it seems like it's an important word here. He taught them as one having authority. Like, what does that mean? What does it mean to have authority? I feel like you could do a riff on that. Pull the thread on that a little bit.
There's a little bit of real recognizes real here in the unclean spirit outing Jesus in the street. He's in the synagogue, not the street. I apologize.
Yeah. 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 And their little, gosh, and their little dialogue here. I mean, there's some interesting, so he teaches them his own name, authority. And not as the scribes, little dig at the scribes. But then I know who you are, the Holy One of God. Like, You think he's going to insult him, and instead the demon just like says who he is? Like, sounds like a pretty good, it does, like, you'd think he'd have some insulting term, but this doesn't seem like an insulting term. It seems like he's actually just telling the truth, which is
I don't know how good this is for Jesus, though.
No, because then his next word is, yeah, his next word is be silent, which he rebukes him. I think there's two things going on with Jesus. Like, yeah, part of it is this guy's got an unclean spirit. We got to get rid of it. But the other thing is shut up. Like, it's not, which is, I think that part's really interesting. Yeah.
Like, social mobility wasn't a thing in the ancient Near East, as now, you know, we just climb up and down classes with ease, regardless of our circumstances or our birth. But, you know, so like, to jump back into the birth, like, especially Matthew's birth narrative, that's a part of what he's doing, right? Is like pleasing that tendency to be like, well, you know, he was born a immigrant and stuff, but kings were at his birth, right? Like, it's, he was actually an important person, right? He had an important person birth, actually. So he can be an important person, is a part of the kind of like fan service that Matthew's doing. Mark's not doing that, and yet he's having all of this honor, right? To get into that honor shame stuff, he has a disproportionate amount of honor than he should if he's this, you know, regular Joe Galilean, first of all, country hick person who is the Holy One of God. That's not true. That's not how it's going to work, right? The Holy One of God, if they were to be among us, would come from Jerusalem, that holy city, and not from Galilee, right? So you get this, like, it puts Jesus in a spot if he's being socially, what's the word I'm looking for? Deviant, right? Like, societies don't love that when you break the rules of society. Mm-hmm. And so a part of the rationale is shut up, like, don't. I'm just getting going, and Mark, I got a lot to do here, and like, this will really slow things down. If I get crucified in chapter one, it'd be a bad story. Not only a bad story, right? But I got other things to do to get to. The other one, like, is thinking about associative things. Nobody knows who this character is except for these unclean spirits. So how do we know he's not with these unclean spirits, right?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And so them knowing, this kind of insider conversation that happens publicly seemed like would, I think you can see how it would paint, not necessarily like the fame. It says his fame spread throughout the region, like, not his, like, the news of how great Jesus was and his impeccable reputation spread throughout Galilee. No, everybody heard about this because this was wild and shouldn't happen. And it starts to fall into that more of that awe category of like, that's great, but also scary.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. 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 Like, it's not, gosh. Yeah. How do you look at this? Like, what did you say? Power, recognize power. That there's like a
real, recognize
real, recognize real. Like, at this point, I mean, for the people watching this, who's, it's not, it may not be clear to them. Like, this isn't like Legion, right? Where like there's this clearly like messed up person. It's just somebody that's like, what mm-hmm. do you, like, who's the good guy? Who's the bad guy in this story? I had this image in my head of the Spider-Man meme where they're like pointing at each other and it's like, who's the right person again? Like, who's mm-hmm. who's good? Who's not in this scenario right now? Yeah, it's cool. It's also kind of scary. it's a very turbulent text, and what a wild thing to happen in church. That's the other thing I think is like, we read these texts in church like very yeah. calmly, and it's like, this is like a crazy yeah. thing to happen in church. If that happened in church on a Sunday morning, you'd be like, what just happened? This is a story that takes place in a church. I mean, it's in a synagogue. We can like unpack all that, but basically in a worship space mm-hmm. where people have gathered, you know.
Yeah. It's also an escalation of what happened before, and next week is going to escalate one more step, right? In the rule of threes, this is the middle yeah. one that Jesus calls his disciples in the first one, right? He's mm-hmm. gathering these like fishermen, who are the kinds of people you would expect a person like Jesus to gather if he's trying to mobilize. Those are the appropriate associates for Jesus, right? Like, and if they're inappropriate, it's because they're like a little sketchier than his background, but that's not really established in Mark. So I take it back. Like, he's not, we don't have the whole son of a carpenter thing going on in Mark. But random guy who walks out of the wilderness in Galilee fits with these fisher people. And then all of a sudden, like, he's like associated with this unclean spirit. And you're like, wait a second, this is getting a little different than I thought it was going to be. So hopefully some payoff next week. Keep that in mind.
Yeah. Well, good luck, preachers. I hope your sermon is as disruptive as this text.
Indeed. I hope this exact situation happens to you in the middle of the service.
That would be really fun if you're like, you're doing a teaching sermon and you've got a plant in the congregation that's going to like disrupt
things. Somebody else goes and you're like, no, I have a plant, but this isn't the plant. But it turns out that was the plant, but then there's another person who was not the plant.
Oh.
It was not the fake plant. Oh, you inception it.
You could actually, maybe you could do it just in terms of like reading the gospel. Here's a worship idea for you. You get somebody to get up and read the gospel. When you get to that person that's crying out from the synagogue, have somebody read that from the pew. Like just like shout it out from the pew so that it like surprises you where it comes from. So then you're not doing anything too crazy. You're just reading the text, but you're reading it. You know, you're surprising people a little bit. Throw it out there.
I like it. There's a million ways to preach this. There's like, I think there's some pretty easy doors to walk into here. Like unclean spirit, I think is the pastoral entry to preaching here. That's pretty easy to identify. You identify what your unclean spirit is in your context, and then Jesus rebukes it. So challenge, of course, how do you make... It's a slightly easy answer here where Jesus just rebukes the spirit and it comes out. So cool. You identify the unclean spirit in your context. And so you rebuke it and it's fixed. You got to, as always, much more difficult to flesh out the how it happens side on the good news side of things.
Indeed. Well, what are we listening to as we prepare to preach this text?
Matt, I've been in the groove with the music. I, as I talked about a couple weeks ago, last week, the Wednesday MJ Linderman thing is just really going great for me. Waxahachie dropped a new single off the new album. Also, a new single got dropped last week of a new upcoming album of Adrian Linker. He's a lead singer of a band I love called Big Thief. She's got a solo album coming out. And there is the single she dropped, Teaser. It's called Sadness as a Gift. And it's a lovely little song. So I'm going to put it on there. I think it fits with this sort of like mixed upness going on in here, unclean spirits. I think it fits. I think it works. Then have you seen this Good People single that got dropped that Mason
showed up on my release radar?
Me too. That's where I found it.
I didn't know how to feel about it.
And Pharrell, neither do I. But good people. They're trying to identify good people here. Good people, not good people? I don't know. Pharrell, always a safe choice to help you figure it out. And Demons, Doja Cat.
Doja Cat.
Really into Doja Cat right now. The what's the song? The one, the popular one. The she a bad.
She remember.
A rebel. She a bad.
Do you have to find clean versions?
Radio edit.
Yeah. Oh wow!
Paint the town red.
Okay. All right. Well, I just finished, the new memoir from Tariq Trotter, Black Thought from the Roots. It's called The Upcycled Self. And it's on Spotify, actually. You can just, it's like included with your Spotify premium. If you've got Spotify premium, it's there. But it's good. It got me listening to the Roots a little bit
jacket on.
Lately. And, I'm gonna put the fire on there from How I Got Over. The fire inside you, because clearly Jesus has got a fire inside of him. And if you're going to look at that Old Testament text, there's some fire in there too. We got some Moses stuff. So it's a pretty fiery text, I think. So let's throw that on there. And then, you know, also just Jesus coming in hot And that makes me think of a song that my daughter was practicing in her first music lesson at the School of Rock.
Oh, there's the School of Rock, huh?
She came out and said, yeah, we were working on Seven Nation Army. I already know that song. I was like, oh, man, I'm so proud. I'm so proud.
What does she even play in the School of Rock?
Yeah, so it's called – it's their rookies class, which means they get to try out all the instruments.
Oh,
so,
that's pretty good.
So they get to go and play guitar, they play the drums, they play the keyboard, they do some vocals. And then I guess when they turn eight, they can choose what they want to focus on. So,
all right. Yeah. That's great.
She really wanted an electric guitar for Christmas. I tried to be like, hey, you know, you could do like a ukulele. I heard that's really cool. Yeah, ukulele is nice. I really want an electric guitar though. I'm like, well, how about we start with some lessons? Because I don't know that I want to drop a. So we're gonna see. We're gonna see how it goes.
Yeah, good move, Matt. Good move.
I mean, I want to encourage it because it is super cool.
Yeah, but
it's one step at a time.
No, you buy there's seven, right? 7 year old electric guitar is too. That's too big of a bite.
That's what I think. That's what I think. But I try to talk into ukulele. No, I want electric guitar because I just want to come home from school and I'm like just feeling all these emotions. I'm just gonna like let it out on my electric guitar. I'm like, what? Who are you? I'm really proud and also I don't know. Wow.
You should say, you know, they have electric ukuleles.
Maybe I'll try it. All right, and then Jesus' fame begins to spread, so let's do David Bowie's Fame. So good.
I like it, man. I like it.
Well, that's what we've got for you on our mini Prepare to Preach episode. It's been real.
Good luck. Real vinyl. Not sure I told you.